What's up? You guys are listening to a Velvet's Edge podcast. This week, I am talking to Dr. Motley, who is a chiropractor physician. He specializes in kinesiology. And y'all, I was so fascinated talking to him. He is a natural doctor. So, you know, it's kind of more the Western medicine type stuff, which I know from other podcasts I've done, you guys probably know how interested I am in this. But I think it is so fascinating to find out how our bodies work, how emotions, how trauma, how grief can just affect all of our organs. We also really got into the Enneagram, which is a personality test that can tell you how you react to stress, how you respond to life in general. And he told me how he uses that a lot in his practices because it really does affect the way our organs function. I'm still at a loss of words. It was such an interesting podcast. Definitely listen and check him out on Instagram and his blog. Here's Dr. Motley. I am here with Dr. Motley, like Motley Crue, right?
The Motley Crue, but not affiliated.
Not affiliated at all. But we're here today. He is a kinesiologist, correct?
Yes,
and you said, how did you describe it? A chiropractor physician?
Chiropractic physician. I specialize in kinesiology and traditional Chinese medicine theory. And I use a little Ayurvedic as well within the practice.
Ayurvedic
is an ancient healing form or theory or practice that they say Chinese medicine was derived from. So Ayurvedic is, they call it the Kapha, the Pitta, the Vata. In Indian medicine, it describes body types. It's the type of medicinal practice that would say that since you're this body type, you need to eat these types of food because they increase the heat or cool you down to keep you from getting sick. That's the kind of theory behind that. I hope that was a decent explanation.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, I find this so fascinating. We were talking a little bit before this. I think that one of the main things in our culture that we do is just treat a symptom. Mm-hmm. And so I find it so fascinating that now it's becoming a lot more common when you hear of someone saying, let's figure out how to make your body work properly.
Yes, yes. The idea of the why.
Right.
Is coming more into the forefront, which it never really has before. In the last 5 to 10 years, you see people who are more investigating and trying to find out why they feel the way they do. And I think there's a rise in consciousness that people want to become more aware. And I think it's sweeping some areas of the country. And
yeah.
I think over the world, there's a lot of people who just want to become aware.
So do you treat with medicines? Do you treat with foods? Do you treat supplements? What is it? What does your practice do?
Definitely the practice. We incorporate as much as we can. We incorporate nutrition, of course. The first thing we always try to incorporate with a patient is to find out what they're sensitive to or what they're allergic to. And that may seem common, but people have either they're straight allergic to a food or something they drink or airborne things, or they have a sensitivity to. And sensitivity basically means something that's so underlying that it can cause chronic inflammations without them knowing it. And it builds up over the years, and then they have a problem 5 or 10 years down the road.
Right.
We incorporate that. We incorporate nutrition. But we always focus in, when a person comes in, cleaning their body on their own without giving any nutrition. And after so many visits, if they need something to help bump them up, get their organs working more efficiently, I'll give them that. We do genetic testing, we do cortisol, we do hormonal testing. Gracious, we do acupuncture testing. And what we do is we try to meld them all into one. Because over the years, I don't know if any other doc feel the same way as I do. I hope they do. I've learned many things by practice. Like I fumbled at some things I didn't know. And so people ask, why did you try to learn all these avenues? It's like, because I literally didn't know what was going on with the patient. Even reading their charts, even reading research, I had to go learn more things, which I'm thankful for. That's how you learn to be a doc. And but we incorporate those. We also incorporate emotional work too and stress work. And we try to find out within Chinese medicine if every organ is meant to process certain emotions. And if that organ is stagnant, they call it stagnant, it's not moving or pumping properly, then it gets toxic. And it can get toxic with chemicals, with the foods we eat, with the air we breathe. And that prevents the organ from processing the emotion it was supposed to process. Like your lungs. Your lungs are supposed to process grief. If a person had chronic bronchitis when they were a kid, they will have a hard time in their adulthood processing grief.
Processing grief.
They won't cry.
Wow.
They'll keep it inside. They get damp heat, and they'll go, they cry on the inside. And that's what we incorporate tons. I hope I'm thinking of everything we do at the office.
Oh, that's so fascinating. I literally this week had a friend say to me, I can't cry. I don't cry.
Yes.
I have to ask her if she has
ever had
lung issues either.
Ask her if she gets up in the mornings from 3 to 5.
Why 3 to 5?
3 to 5 is the time in the Chinese Ori cycle. It's the time frame, the Chinese circadian rhythm. Think of it this way. Like you have your cell phone, you plug it in to charge up. From 3 to 5 a.m., your lungs are supposed to charge with energy. That's the concentrated point in your body. Your chi goes to that area. If there's a blockage or there's a problem, an old infection, your body has to unplug and go fix the problem. So it wakes you up, or you don't get good. You don't get good rest. So people come to you, or you get up in the morning. Like, I get up every morning at 2 or 3 o'clock.
Right.
You look at the cycle and go, there's something wrong with the lungs. And that's how that system works.
Crazy! My mind gets blown with this stuff.
Isn't it fun? Yeah. It's fun though.
So,
yeah?
So what do you see most often? What are people coming to you? Is it stuff like that where they would be having bronchitis and they would say, well, I can't keep my lungs healthy? And then you look at the deeper issue there.
Yes. Like for example, if somebody came to me and said, I couldn't breathe very well, or I have bronchitis, I use frequency medicine, which is basically sound therapy.
Okay.
And what we do is I have a biofeedback device, and I know it's hard to describe on a podcast, but we can measure and diagnose, or monitor the sound that comes off the body. So we have this device, it's called a resonator. And what I do is I can monitor the sound that comes off certain points in the body. So what if a person comes in with a lung issue, we go in and I find out if the lung itself does not have enough blood flow or electricity or lymph flow to the organ.
Okay.
And there's certain points on the body that you can find that you can use soft tissue manipulation, you can use pressure, you can use certain types of percussion on that area to open up the flow of blood and lymph and also electricity to the organ. That way, the organ gets enough energy and feed from the body, and it'll actually start pumping properly on its own, because every organ is a muscle.
Right.
And if the blood gets into the organ, it will bring red blood cells, white blood cells, your immune cells to the organ and start cleaning it out on its own. You don't have to do anything. So that's how it approaches. People come to the office for bronchitis. We have people come for Lyme disease,
right,
parasitic infections. I can't claim to be a counselor, and I don't have that degree, but people come thinking they need some emotional work. Quite a bit of children come in too, and a lot of allergies, eczema.
Right.
And people come in for sprained ankles. We see it. And people that have chronic Lyme or parasitic infections usually have a lot of depression, anxiety, and frustration. And if you can balance the biochemistry and balance the infections, a lot of times their depression, anxiety will go away.
Right, because they feel so bad. So then they end up in turn getting depressed and all of that stuff.
Exactly
too.
Right.
All goes
yes.
hand in hand. Wow. So how did you get into medicine like this? What was the factor that made you go, I want to do this kind of medicine? Or what was your belief system behind it?
The first thing, that if people go to the website and see, my story is this. I slept in the same room with my brother all my life. And my brother had chronic allergies. He had dust mite allergies. So he always breathed through his mouth. And when I was a kid, I was about 5 or 6 years old. I remember he went to this doc, the different type of doctor next door. And he started getting his neck adjusted, because my brother always used those inhalers and shots and such. Well, a few days after he started going, he started breathing through his nose and it didn't wake me up at night. And I went, because I got up wondering. And I found out this guy was just doing stuff on his neck and around the base of his skull. And then the same doc worked on my father, and my father was scheduled to have surgery. And my dad didn't have to have surgery, because I used to wear my dad's support belt that he used to wear when he went to work. And my dad stopped wearing it. And I was like, why'd you stop wearing this, Dad? Right. And he goes, oh, my back's better. I said, but the guy didn't do any like shots or anything? He's like, no.
He just adjusted him.
And it kind of stuck with me over the years. And my thought was, I either want to be an artist, because my art teacher in high school said I should become an artist, and or a jet pilot or something in health. But health just stuck in my head. And I thought, if you can help somebody without having to give them a whole bunch of shots and stuff, because I hated shots and things of that sort. And I thought, maybe that'd be an avenue I need to go to. Through high school, it just sort of sunk in. I'm like, I'll do health. Then I tried to find out which avenue of health I wanted to go into. And I think we talked about doing like neurology or genetics.
Right.
We can go down that storyline before.
But you mentioned it before because you said that was the other thing that really factored, or that was a big one when you were deciding you were really interested in that.
It was.
But tell why you didn't do that.
I read a report because I loved neurology. I loved how the brain controlled, you know, the function of the body and how the brain is a responsive organ and how it adapts. And it's fascinating research. But they said neurologists had some of the highest depression rates, had a lot of malpractice suits, and some of them were high drug users. And there's a lot of, hate to be sounding negative, but some suicide. So I thought, can't go down that road.
Yeah.
And I thought genetics, but genetics, I had to sit in a lab all day. And I couldn't sit in the lab all day. And then I chose chiropractic because chiropractic gave you a lot of leeway into certain areas like nutrition and body work and chemistry work and genetics.
Emotional work.
That's why I chose it.
So you just want to help people get back to their best selves, basically, which I love.
Yes. The motto behind the office is help them become aware of their true self.
Yeah.
They, in essence, every person just needs to become aware of who they are. And then they will take the steps to create their own healing. They will take the journey to take a supplement if that's what's needed, or if they need emotional work. But getting somebody aware of that is satisfying to me.
Right.
Because you can have a person that comes in for 2 years off and on, and they'll go, they're not supposed to eat dairy. You can tell them all day. But then they start to feel better within themselves. And then there's this realization inside that they actually took a step on their own, said, I'm not going to eat dairy for 3 weeks. And then they lose 15 pounds. And it was them who became aware. And then you go, then you don't have to treat them that much anymore because they become aware. And you're like, I was just here to give you information.
Right.
I helped out, but you're the one who became aware of it.
I told you earlier, I read your blog all morning for like 3 hours. It's fascinating, by the way. It's drmotley.com, right? Mm-hmm.
Dr.
If you are interested at all in this stuff, I highly advise you to check this out because there are so many fascinating topics. You do say a lot over and over. It's about getting to know yourself, looking back at your journey, because we're all so affected by our childhoods or just situations we've gone through. And that affects all of our organs. That to me is so fascinating. You don't realize the effect of emotional stuff on your body and how you can hold it for years.
It is amazing to the point where, like, say your parents come into play too. If your parents were, say, suffered, or they had to deal with situations in their life where they had resentment or anger or frustration, maybe they had some kind of, I hate to say, abuse or trauma when they were a kid. In Chinese medicine, the gallbladder and liver are the organs that process anger, resentment, and frustration. This is the cool thing. If they have experienced that, that organ gets weakened over years. The cells literally become weakened. And the cells learn to respond to any situation in the sense that if they absorb resentment and anger, they will pass that genetically to you. Not the anger, resentment, but the weakened cell, because the cell gets tired.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Wait, so they pass it to you, like your mom passes it to you in the womb? Or
yes.
Both. Oh, you already knew where I was going.
Both.
So as you're growing up, you kind of...
Exactly. Because the cells...
I can't even process right now. Okay, tell me more.
If a cell experiences anger, remember this, biochemically, guys, your cells release certain chemicals that attach to every other cell to cause it to be angry. So when that occurs within your mom or your dad, it trained that cell to produce those chemicals over and over again. Then they pass that genetic code to you. So your cells now have the tendency to always become angry or frustrated or resentful. So they pass on a weak gallbladder or liver to you.
So that happens with your mom in the womb. But when you are born, can your body learn certain things?
Completely.
Like from your dad or something?
Oh, completely. Like
really?
in the energetic realm, or I'd say like in frequency realm, we're all speakers. For instance, if your dad vibrated, seriously, if he had the vibration or the frequency of anger or frustration emanating from his body, because it is a sound, it hits your cells. And it makes your cells vibrate like a speaker. And then you will start to create the chemicals in response to his vibration.
Whoa.
So if you're around that all the time.
This is crazy.
You will start vibrating with anger. So you will start seeing the angry things in everything you look at. And that creates. And so when we talk about vibratory tone and how you're around people that are not good for you or great for you, people go into a room and they go, I know that this is not the best person for me, because your cells literally create toxins in response to a person. and you don't feel good. So people go, oh, it's just me. I'm just reading more into it. No, you need to listen to yourselves. They are telling you something about that person. So as you get brought up in a hostile environment or a peaceful environment, you are completely a radio tower. You completely receive information from your parents, both chemically and frequency sound. And
just like learning. Yes. Well, that also goes back to getting to know yourself, because like I'm an empath. Mm-hmm. So when I walk into a room, I pick up everybody's energy, you know, yes. And that is a true thing for me. I've had to really learn like who I can be around or interact with, because it deeply affects my state.
Definitely. Because if you being empathic is such a gift, and it's a hard gift. I always say
it's exhausting.
It's very exhausting because not only are you getting the information from other people's cells and their vibratory tone, how their cells shake, the empath will take that information and then try to fix it internally. So you take
What do you mean?
You take on the information without a word being spoken. And that information, let's say somebody like a friend of yours is anxious, and they send you an information through vibration without saying a word. You feel it. You go, I know what they're feeling.
Yeah.
That signal goes right to your brain, creates a chemical response in you. And then you turn around and you try to find the inverse wave. You try to figure out and say, how can I help their anxiety without even doing anything for them? The empath will try to actually send out the tone back to them to fix them. So you receive it.
Oh my God.
You feel it. And you go, this is what they call in sound, guys, called out of phase. This is cool. When you have a wave, like a sound wave, if you invert the wave and turn it upside down, you'll naturally cancel the wave. So in sound, that's how it is in sound therapy. You got to know it's could just look up out of phase. And what it is in sound, like in music, if you put an out of phase wave with another sound, it will just cancel the wave, the sound. So you as the empath try to create the inverse wave.
So I don't even know I'm doing that though, right?
It's subconscious.
It's subconscious, but my organs know.
Completely.
Okay, here's another question. So I saw another natural doctor. She has since moved offices, so I'm going to have to come see you now. my liver holds on to stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't know really what that is, but I think it's tied to my personality type maybe. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to kind of navigate that. Then I have a lot of sinus issues. Mm-hmm. And they're all connected, right? Like
definitely. Yes.
Okay. So what is that something like, I mean, you know, obviously you don't have to diagnose me all the way right now. I would love that, but, so when I'm picking up other emotions from people, am I storing them in my organs?
Yes. And if you are storing them, it's what they call in Chinese medicine, stagnation. So if you have trained to take on somebody's, you trained yourself by your personality type to take on the issue and want to solve it. If the organ over years stuffs toxins through your genetics, if your liver is not strong,
right?
You stuff toxins, you stuff chemicals, that organ becomes stagnated. It gets stiff. And so then you start pulling on emotions and it starts storing in that organ and it can't process them out. It will hold in the tissue. It's literally vibration in your tissue. And so your liver becomes stagnant and it gets congested and you'll start having sinus issues because the liver backs up into the stomach meridian.
Oh.
And the stomach meridian is right below the eyes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's where it's always congested. I have headaches.
Stomach meridian and liver. So when the liver is tired, it will pick on the stomach and the spleen and you'll always have congestion.
So that's what's fascinating is I could come see you and say, oh my gosh, I'm so congested. I have all these issues. And you would go, okay, well, it's not necessarily let's look at your nasal cavity. It's like, let's look way beyond that or behind that.
Yes. The way we analyze it is I try to find any area around the eye and we check the area, but I try to find the rabbit trail that leads me to the organ that's congested. Clean up the organ by doing some of the work to get the blood flow to it. It'll naturally drain the area. The only reason that area gets congested is because the point gets congested with energy. It's congested energy and blood flow and lymph. And so you won't congest. So the body is telling you, hey, you have a problem with your liver, not, hey, you have a problem with your sinus.
Right. Because I could treat my sinuses all day, but it just comes back the next day.
Exactly. It is your body's peaceful, graceful way of telling you, you have a deeper issue.
Interesting.
And that's why learning acupuncture points is good for the general public. People come in and go, I have a shoulder problem. I'm like, well, look at all the acupuncture points where it hurts, and it will tell you which organ is not processing properly and it's giving you pain. Your body just tapped you on the shoulder. Isn't that cool?
Wow, that's so cool to me. What are the main things you see people for? Like, do you get a lot of people coming in for depression, anxiety, those kind of things?
Quite a bit. We have people that come in that are depressed and have anxiety. We have tons of patients that come in for thyroid imbalance and adrenal imbalance and tied in with depression and anxiety. True fatigue. A lot of people come in with fatigue and they tie that and correlate it with their thyroid and adrenals, you know, adrenaline.
Right, right.
And we see a lot of people for infertility. And we always find that people usually have chronic viral indicators or chronic bacterial or chronic yeast. So I know it's a wide range, but we do find people with chronic infections and chronic fatigue. Those are two of the biggest.
That can affect things like infertility.
Completely.
So if you clean that up, do you see people not having issues anymore?
Yeah. I mean, this is not me saying like we're doing anything. It's a conglomerate. We have other docs that work with them. So guys, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back at all.
It doesn't sound like that.
In Chinese medicine, I keep saying it over and over, but guys, in Chinese medicine, they have what they call the triple heater. And the triple heater they call the Sanjiao, which is the three organs that create fire. Your thyroid, which creates energy,
right.
Thyroid hormone, your adrenals that create adrenaline and cortisol. And in women, it's the ovaries that create estrogens, right? If your thyroid gets tired from everyday stress, your thyroid then tells your adrenals to come on, give me some turbo, and tells them to kick on and start creating adrenaline. When it gets tired, it starts pulling adrenaline that's made in the ovaries. So a lot of times women come in who are infertile, and men too, because they chronically stress their thyroid and adrenals. It's everyday life.
Wow.
It's what we call the American culture.
Yeah.
And so their vitamin D gets low.
Right.
And even in women, their testosterone goes low because their ovaries are busy making adrenaline instead of hormones like estrogen and testosterone. And that's just biochemistry. It's not like just Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That's endocrinology. So when people come in and do that, I tell them it may take them 8 to 12 months to see a result where their hormones actually have to shift and create different hormones, you know what I mean? Or fortify the production of estrogen or testosterone. But thankfully, we've seen some ladies get pregnant and, you know, like over the years because, you know, with the use of tons of birth control out there and
the
use of so many synthetic hormones, you literally are shutting off the ovaries and now you're trying to tell the ovaries to turn back on.
Well, I know this is the case for me and I can't talk too much about this because you guys will see a lot of this on Very Cavallari this season. It's the show I'm on. But I know a lot of women who are my age, which is over 35.
You're over 35?
I know. It's Botox.
No way.
I know. That's another chemical I inject in my body.
You look like young. Oh, my word. Good job. Good on you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I know women nowadays are building a career and they're having babies later.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that you've bumped up against a lot or that can still be helped with supplements and getting your organs right and
completely.
All of those things?
I think that many ladies, and I feel for them because as they get a little older, they think, well, can I have a child at this age and what can be done? But I've had few patients that have had children within their 40s.
Really?
Yes, and no problems on their own. And the doctors say, well, after 35, you're done. But that is taking into account the body's ability to methylate. Now, guys, I'm not trying to get complicated.
What does methylate mean?
Methylate means the liver can take your B vitamins. Have anybody heard of MTHFR? That's a big thing. Basically, the body, as you get older, can lose the capacity of the energy to process certain B vitamins and certain vitamins like vitamin C and D. Now, all that to say, if the liver doesn't do it properly, it doesn't allow you to form your hormones properly. If you get the body to be able to assimilate B vitamins and C and D and certain other minerals like selenium and zinc, which you can, the body will start producing hormones properly. So they say, well, I've known ladies that have had babies in their 50s. No exaggeration.
50s.
Yes, because their bodies could methylate well. And if you look up that type of work, guys, methylation was used to help autistic kids because the body was not able to use B vitamins to create certain neurotransmitters and hormones. But it didn't stop there. They went further into genetics and found like, oh, this person's gene is not turned on. There's a mutation in the gene to create certain estrogens, certain progesterone, certain testosterone. So they started giving the nutrition to bump it up and support it. And then people could have babies later and the baby's perfectly healthy.
That's crazy.
Like my niece, I hope she don't mind me saying this. My niece is going to have a baby, right?
Okay.
And she came to me super tired. And I told her, I said, you know, Al, if we help the baby and give you plenty of good fatty acids, a good plenty of vitamin B, that baby will be so strong. And then she gained 35 pounds and the baby's weight went up a couple pounds just because of all the good fats we gave her. So she's young, but I'm saying an older lady should not be alarmed. I understand there may be some endocrinologists out there that probably may disagree, and I understand that. But depending on the person's genetics, if you get them properly balanced within their nutrition, I don't think there should be fear of or having a baby at an age like that.
Well, and this is the difference between, I guess, Western medicine and Eastern medicine. And I think sometimes there's cases where you need both, yes, obviously, and I don't knock on either. But when, for instance, you talk about, like, you know, nowadays you can go do things like freezing your eggs and there's all these options, but they don't talk about what you just talked about, which is getting everything in line to help your body function properly.
Exactly
to do right. These things. Even if you were going to go freeze your eggs, their version would be pump yourself full of a bunch of stuff and then not necessarily even think about where you might be deficient or anything
That's
like that.
The beauty of, like, if you go to a great nutritionist, uh-huh, or a good natural doctor, a good Western doctor who incorporates certain types of natural nutrition, I think that if you got the body healthy enough and, like, you froze an egg, or you got the person's ovaries, the lady's ovaries, really strong, even through doing blood tests and monitoring with, like, ultrasound and such, if you do it properly and they still don't get pregnant, it gives the Western medicine docs a clear view why. That makes
right.
sense. You take a
oh,
lot
yeah.
of the groundwork out of it. And the beauty of what we do at the office is I never try to say that I'm doing such alternative medicine that I'm cutting them off of going to Western. I actually encourage it.
Yeah.
Like, we've had patients that had issues with seriously, like, the lining in their reproductive area because uh-huh. they couldn't hold an egg. And they go, well, I need to get checked as much as you can. It's safe for you. And we'll keep working with it and see if what we're doing is making a difference. And I get turned off by docs that, in a sense, want to become the solve-all. Mm-hmm. Like, they think we're going to cut ourselves off from these kind of doctors. I'm like, no, go do as much as you can with get as much testing as you can, and we'll strengthen the body and help be an adjunct to the other doctors.
Right.
That's what I like to
Yeah, work
operate.
Together.
Exactly. Work together all
that
the time.
That makes so much sense. So obviously these are my issues that maybe other people aren't technically dealing with, but it just goes back to show it's so important to get to know yourself and what's going on with you, what your past looks like and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I was reading a lot on the blog today, and this is actually how I found you, is your work with the Enneagram.
Oh yeah.
I find personality tests extremely fascinating.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think they're great just to know, even like I want my girls at the office to do them so we can understand how to work with each other. I think it's really important in any sort of relationship you have.
Every relationship.
Right? I think so too. But so let's talk about, first of all, can you explain, I know the Enneagram is becoming more popular now, but can you explain to people what it is, just in case they don't know?
Enneagram, without getting too complicated, they said was formulated back by a priest, like a Christian priest in the 4th century. And there has been a lot of discussion about where it truly came from. Some people said it actually came that there was influences in Plato's day and Socrates' day of how they took 9 points. And in Greek, the Enneagram, Ennea means 9 and gram means points. So you have 9 points. So they assigned 9 different personality types to people. Basically, you are one of the 9 type. So they made wings as well. So you can be a certain personality type. For example, I'm a 9 and I'm a peacemaker.
Right.
And I could be a wing of a 1, which is basically a person who's a perfectionist.
Okay.
Or I could be an 8, which is a challenger. So you read the Enneagram and you see what your personality type is like. Now, there's many modern types of personality types, but back in the day, even the scholars and the mystics had tried to assign certain personalities to people because they had to try to solve their problems like we are today. And now people can learn how they respond to stress. You learn about your personality. You relearn how you respond to stress because of the way you were brought up and how you were programmed when you were a kid. And then you learn how your friend is programmed.
Right.
And you can understand why they respond to stress different than you.
Right.
I hope that was clear.
I mean, it's clear to me. And if it's not, you guys should definitely read more about the Enneagram because I've read a lot. So that makes total sense to me. And I think that's where what's so fascinating with relationships in the Enneagram is that is where so many miscommunications come from.
Come.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Like you're reacting to stress you're both reacting to stress, but you're reacting in different ways.
Exactly. Depending on how we were brought up, like you and I, if I'm brought up where, I want to give you guys an example out of me. My mom and dad fought a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was young that I'd always ask them to stop fighting. So the thing that made me feel good or made me feel stable was that my mom and dad stopped fighting, that there was peace between them. As I get older, I've realized this. I'm the middleman between many groups of friends.
Interesting.
I'm the guy that goes around and makes everybody feel comfortable with each other. And my work is sort of evidence of how I was brought up. I want people to create peace within themselves, find who they are. And it naturally led me to that area. Now, if I encounter another person who is, let's say, a seven. If you have a seven, or which is a person who is the enthusiast, loves the life of the party, mm-hmm. right? When I get into stress as a nine, I can become withdrawn almost to the point because I've tried to create peace within so many people that everybody comes to me to solve, like become, create peace within these groups. And so I go, well, you know what? If everybody's okay, then I'm okay, right? But I get tired. And when my organs get tired, then I withdraw. I was like, I don't want to help anybody anymore. I don't want to create peace. And so I get totally within myself. If I meet a seven and you're in a relationship with them and you're in romantic with them, the seven, they love the party in the sense they love community. They love unity, love everybody to get together. And so they get their satisfaction seeing all their loved ones together. And as they work hard for it, and then people start to go, well, you're the center point. And then they get tired and they go, I don't want to be center point anymore. They get stressed. They pull away. They'll actually not like commitments because that's their personality type. So they actually, if you're in a relationship with them, they may withdraw from you and not feel so committed to you because that's how they approach life. They probably were brought up in a family that was had unhappy parents and they had to depend on themselves to create happiness, create the party, create the loving atmosphere. I am responsible for me to create happiness.
But when their organs get tired, they don't want to do it anymore.
Yes, the thyroid, the adrenals, and the ovaries get tired. So if you understand about the person you're in relationship with, you go, when she gets tired or he gets tired, he is literally going to feel he's going to have that withdrawn, non-committed personality. So I have to understand that about them. Even people I work with, they're processing their stress, and I have to let them process it. And so you find the unhealthy portion of your personality type and the healthy. So it's about giving grace. Mm-hmm. Like after a while, like, you know, somebody so well, it's like they're processing right now. And, you know, that's why they match people up. They'll say, well, I'm a Capricorn and you're a Sagittarius.
Totally, I love that stuff too.
I love it too. But that's the Enneagram does the same thing. It's like you could probably pair well with this because according to your personality type, you may be able to absorb that energy better with certain numbers than other numbers.
Right. You could be more understanding of or anything like that.
Totally.
And then you use it in your practice because you say that different personality types, like you're saying with the stress, they carry the stress differently and it affects specific organs, right?
Yes. Yes. And if you find a person or a patient's Enneagram type, you know which organ they have more tendency to put the burden on. Okay. So if a person is...
like I'm a two.
You're a two. You're a helper. So you get... and no analyze trying to... like you literally get your need. I mean, your satisfaction, your stability with helping others. Yeah. Seeing other people and being so empathic and knowing what another person needs before they tell you something is true gifting. When you go to a two... the first thought I think for you is that you will outdo yourself and be the person at the party who everybody has their food, their drinks, and you're doing the work. And you say, I actually feel better just doing this while everybody sits down and has their drinks. I'd like to make sure everybody's happy, but you'll wear your thyroid out. That's what a lot of twos do. So when a two comes in and you're like tired, I always go for naturally for the thyroid and I go for the liver. And in your case, since you're slender, I always know you're a thyroid body type.
What does that mean?
Which means you probably depend more on your thyroid and your spleen to give you energy. So that makes sense. So I go, I'm going to produce tons of thyroid hormone.
Okay.
I'm going to put a lot of T3 guys, T3, remember that. And so that hormone attaches to every other cell and makes all your cells create energy. And you do it all the time. So you're like, I like to get up early. I like to get things done. And by 1 or 2 o'clock, I need to take my nap or have my chill time. That's a thyroid body type.
Okay.
So then I naturally look to your thyroid and find out what's fatiguing the thyroid. That's how I use it in the office. So if a person comes in and let's say they're like me, like a nine.
Yeah.
I go in and analyze certain organs. I always go to the stomach. I want to create peace. I'm always pensive. I'm always worried that everybody's happy. And in Chinese medicine, the stomach relates to worry. So I go right to the stomach, and you'll see these patterns with people with certain numbers have certain organs. And they draw from other organs. Oh, man, I'm getting too deep in this, guys.
No, but it's so hard not to.
But like you're at two, and as you start to make sure that everybody is okay and you help everybody, you will not help yourself.
Right. That's true.
That's the truth, right? You'll go
or
into
I help myself last, always. Yeah.
You always put yourself last.
Yeah.
And that is the sign of fatigue in the organs. So I find the fatigue in the organ, if you bump it up, people will start to realize the healthy portion of their personality, and they'll go, no, I need to help myself first, and then I'll help everybody else. That's the how you use the Enneagram.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, this is a question I have. You mentioned you're a peacemaker and that your parents used to fight a lot as kids. Do you think that you're a peacemaker by birth? Like, were you born a peacemaker, or did you develop those personality types because of situations you were in as a kid?
That is a great question, guys. And I can't answer that like positively. I had to say it, but I think I go down both roads.
Okay.
And this is why. I thought I was a two for the longest time. And the reason being is because the kind of work I do, I thought, well, I'm in here to help people and I feel good when I help them. And I thought, well, it's born in me, God given, like a personality type. And maybe it is. But as I learned over the years, I look back, I don't help people because I want them necessary to always feel cared for by a two. Like, I don't go and say, I want you to feel good because I want you to feel like healthy and cared for. I want people to feel good because I want peace, which is what I grew up in, right?
Right.
If I wanted peace during my young childhood with my parents. So I help people because I want peace. All that to say, I hope I'm not being confusing. I thought I was a two by birth, but I learned that I was a nine as I grew older. Which one am I? Was I that way when I was I don't know for certain.
Yeah. God,
I cannot
so
get, it is very, I cannot know, because then you take into the fact that your parents' genetics, their personality type passed to you, and you go, did they have some of their numbers passed to me and I was born this way, or I learned from watching them or feeling their vibration? I can't say it for certain.
It's just the way your personality
develops.
I think
it's maybe all of it together.
Wow.
I hate to be vague, guys.
No, but I mean, that makes sense. It's like you're naturally inclined to be a certain way, and then your experiences kind of shape that even more.
Yes, you're programmed by age two, you're basically in an unconscious realm. When you get to two, you've already got most of your programming set in your brain. By the time you're 10 or 12, you're out of your subconscious realm, and you start just acting out all the programs that were put into you by the first 2 years.
God, I could talk about this forever. The other thing I read about on your blog today was, I don't even know if it's called the elements, the earth, wind, water, fire, and metal, which is it another aspect of the Enneagram, or is it completely separate?
It's part of the Chinese medicine and part of Ayurvedic, but I'll stick with Chinese medicine where, for instance, I just talked about thyroid, adrenals, and the ovaries and the testes, which are in Western medicine, the organs that help you produce hormones that give you energy. So you have estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, thyroid hormones, and adrenaline. Chinese theory or Chinese medicine did not have those words to describe it. So they describe them as the triple heater, the ones that bring fire, that bring the umph into your life. So people who are a certain element, that like, let's say they're the fire element, that means they burn hot. Like they're the people who have strong thyroids or like yourself. And they have the personality type of they can get depleted very easy.
Okay.
They can be up and down very easy. They have the tendency to be very, not say hysterical, but they can get manic because they can laugh when they really should be crying because they're complete lovies. They like fire burns within their heart and they push out a lot of love towards people, but they don't receive it back. And so they get depleted very easily, which is Western medicine, thyroid getting depleted. If you're an earth element, or if you're like, I'm an earth element, which means I get fed by the mountains, by the actual earth, which means my personality is very cool. Like I just stable kind of thing. And I depend on my stomach and spleen as my organs. I hope this is making sense. So I'm an element of earth. Another person can be fire. And so what they did is that element describes your organs that you use primarily for stress, and it describes your personality, and it almost describes what food you should eat. And I could get into that, but I'm a stomach spleen guy, which means I naturally will worry and pensive. I know what's coming down the pipe, but I will worry about the outcome of it. And get this, guys, I'll tell you a little more about myself. Over almost a year and a half ago, I had a surgery. I had a ruptured ulcer, almost died. My stomach was my main organ that I stored my stress in because I'm an earth element. So a person comes in and let's say they're a fire element. I know they're storing it within the heart, the small intestine, the thyroid, or the adrenals. And I monitor that and I find out which organ it is, and it tells me what element they are.
So if someone came to you and they're like, listen, I am an Enneagram 7 and I just want to know how to take care of my body.
Oh my goodness.
Do you know what I mean? Is that something, would that happen? Or it's just like,
oh, it happens. It's
about getting in touch with yourself, right? Or understanding how your body works.
Completely. Yes.
What kind of things would you look at? You would just start to look at how they store their stress and.
The first thing you do when a person comes in, and you always find out how they want to heal. Some people come in and they go, I don't want to take hardly any supplements. That's how they are. Some people say, I want to heal it with food. Other people say, I just want to meditate and learn how to do meditation. I go in, and in Chinese medicine, they have 12 main organs. And the 12 organs, I compare them to doors on a house, guys, okay? So I come up to your house, and I knock on each of the door. And in my practice, I found out which organ is at most priority imbalance. You will open up one of the doors to me.
What do you mean?
I could come to you and go, all right, what's going on? And you say, well, it's my heart. I only have energy right now, today, in this time of my life, to work on my heart. I know I have a large intestine problem or I have a spleen issue, but I do not have the energy to go fix that right now. I will open up one door to you. I go in, open up the door, and then you come up and give me a to-do list. You go, okay, to help strengthen my heart, to open up more awareness to all my other issues, I need you to help me with this to-do list for my heart. It could be emotion, it could be structural issues, it could be chemical issues, it could be straight organ imbalance. I then use body work and frequency medicine and acupressure points and things of that sort to strengthen the organ, bring it into balance, and then it takes pressure off all the other organs. And in the next visit, you'll open up another door to me.
Oh.
And eventually you'll get to the point where you go, this is my main issue.
Right.
Some people are so aware that they give me their main issue right at the very beginning. Like they'll tell me like, I have dad issues since I was a kid. And this is brought to me right now. Now, I have so many analogies because it would be like me sitting in my living room and somebody's coming in to help me clean up an organ and I'm in my bathrobe and I have three closets that are completely filled and dirty. But I'm like, you know what? I only have energy right now to fix that, clean up that one closet. The other two, I have to wait till later. If you do it in order, the body will naturally gain energy and open up things in sequence to you. And it makes it so much more efficient for the body to heal.
Well, and you said also it's with one organ's tired, then it affects another organ. So if you're healing one organ, then you have probably the space to address the other organs.
Yes. And when you create space and capacity within the organ, you'll start processing your emotions better. You'll start helping take pressure off all the other organs. And if you really clean up one organ real well, like 60-70% of most of your problems will go away.
That is insane to me. I mean, God, I could talk about this stuff all day.
See how it ties in though? So like you came in like your Enneagram or your element type. If I came in and it was me, for me, I'm using an example. If my stomach was the main issue, my body, my personality, my awareness has been trying to call attention to my stomach this whole time. And if I cultivated and nourished it like I should, then most all my other aches and pains will go away because that's where I hold all my stress. That's why I process. And that's not a bad thing. It's your natural tendency to process stress in certain organs.
But once you know how you process stress, you can live your life accordingly.
Exactly. Open up the capacity within the organ, nourish it, and you'll process stress. It doesn't mean you're never going to have anxiety or fear come towards you. It just means as it comes to you, you can pull it in, or it comes to you, you process it, let it flow out.
Yeah. Crazy. So if we're completely over your head right now, because it is a lot of information. But
so sorry, guys.
I don't think we are. I think you've been very clear. But you guys can go check out his blog. It's doctor spelled out, right?
It's Dr. Motley. You can go on there with drmotley.com. It leads both. So Dr. Motley, like Motley Crue.
You break down all the Enneagram stuff and how it ties into the elements too, because I was able to connect which elements I probably lean towards through those blog posts.
Exactly. Yes. And guys, we are on Instagram at Dr. Motley as well and on the website. But remember, if you have a problem finding your Enneagram or your element type,
yeah,
go back to your tendencies when you're a kid. Remember, I thought I was a two because I love to help and try to help people. But I found out that I remember the memory of me telling my mom and dad, please don't fight. I was always the person that tried to bring like my group of friends together and make them laugh to feel comfortable with each other. See, my tendency as a kid was to create peace. I didn't go and help them so they, quote, felt better. I just wanted them to be peace with each other. So if you have a problem, go back to when you're a kid. Remember the memories. Think of the memories when you're a kid, and that will tell you and solidify what numbers you were.
Right. So did you actually even take the Enneagram test?
Yes. And you want to know what the funny thing is?
What did you get, like a three?
I never added up the numbers.
What do you mean?
Because I am one of those kind of individuals that when I get a test, I'm stubborn this way, that I didn't want to add up the numbers because I didn't want to know what I was.
Okay.
Because I had tons of people tell me what I was. If everybody's like, you need to do this, Motley, you need to do this.
You're not going to do it.
No, I'm a nine.
I
That's what I do.
That.
But now I've suggested many of my peeps to go and do like Enneagram apps and tests, and mm-hmm. people get kind of confused. But I always go back, and I did one 7 years ago. I did one recently, and I didn't add them up, but I compared my what mm-hmm. I was, and I was like, I am a different person. But my internal personality was always peacemaker. Like,
interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, man. We could talk all day on this.
I mean, we could go about this all day. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, it's so great.
You guys definitely go check out the blog, drmotley.com. If you have any sort of grief or trauma or anything like that you're dealing with too, you talk a lot about that on the blog, how yes. it can affect the body. It's fascinating to me.
Oh, man.
And then where else can people find you? You mentioned Instagram. It's at Dr. Motley.
Dr. Motley, spelled out, Dr. Motley.
Okay.
We do posts. My crazy, awesome assistant, Blaze, she runs media for me, and we put blogs and post out almost every day.
She's correcting him. How do you put them out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. But yeah, and dancing. I dance on Instagram because I like, you know, Michael Jackson moves. I try.
Oh, okay.
But we try to do a post. We try to do a video that kind of describes what we're talking about because every post we do is literally experiences we have at the office that I see in patients. So I hope it's personable to the point where when I write something, it is not just me thinking of it. It really is what you see in the day. And we do it like every morning. And basically, this is a routine. Get up in the morning, get there before the first patient at 8. We're in the room, turn on the lights. I'm writing a post probably the day, night before or that morning. We videotape it. I dance, get to the office. I start working on people we used to work till about 6 o'clock at night. And then we do it over the next day. But
that's
we have
a full day.
It's a full day. It's fun.
Yeah.
And so, guys, if you guys have any questions, really, if you have any, we try to message you back as quick as we can. But if hopefully the post help, that's all we want to do is because we don't have enough time to answer all the patients' questions
right.
when they came in. So I just started putting posts out there because like you can find stuff on our MTHFR, which is like methylation or chemical stuff. You can find stuff on emotions or grief. And I do try to write things that are solidified in research and experiences in the office. So we do a lot of work with just different realms, structural, chemical, organ, and stress.
So fascinating. I'm so happy you were able to come in and talk to me today. I literally could pick your brain all day.
thank you for having me. I really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. You have a great place and thank you so much. And we love doing this. So,
well, you guys go check him out, drmotley.com or on Instagram at Dr. Motley. Thank you again so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. And you know what? I get this. One of my friends said that she met you in L.A.
In L.A.?
Yes, because her name's Linda Penny.
Wait, she was on the podcast.
Tell me that. I'm friends with her.
When you were talking about the sound therapy, she was the one who came into my brain.
Yeah.
She's like, amazing.
We're buddies. We see each other at seminars.
Oh my gosh.
In LA a lot.
See, everything happens for a reason.
It is.
This is crazy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes,
I really appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for listening. Check them out at drmotley.com.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.